and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris and you're watching The Future is Female. This is the show where we find the extraordinary in every woman. My guest today is Joelle Pang. She is the General Manager of Fast Jobs Malaysia. I'm delighted to welcome her to the show. Joelle, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Melissa.
Good to see you. And looks like you're back in the office working hard. I thought maybe what we could do is begin our conversation, Joelle, with a look at the company, a look at Fast Jobs. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about the company, but more specifically, what gaps Fast Jobs is trying to address?
So great question, Melissa. First of all, thank you so much for the invitation to be on your show. Such an honor to speak with you. So just to share a little bit about Fast Jobs, we are a non-executive job platform. So of course, we focus on the more customer-facing, operational, as well as, you know, what we call the ground on the ground jobs, where we are focusing on entry level, rank and file, etc., etc. So the gap that we are really looking to address is really on how do we look at fulfilling our vision for Fast Jobs, which is to provide equal access to job opportunities for everyone. So breaking that down a little bit, we focus on two key areas, really. The first one being that we are constantly looking at how we can enable and facilitate equal opportunity employers to really hire effectively and successfully through our platform. And on the other side of the equation as well, we are constantly looking at empowering all job seekers, regardless of whether they are executive or non-executive job seekers, regardless of their salary range, to really gain meaningful employment through our job platform.
Do you think that category of worker, the non-executive, entry-level, blue-collar worker, do you think that they have been almost sidelined in the recruitment process, in the kind of in the job hiring process?
So while I may not say they are sidelined, but I'll definitely say that they have been underserved. Because if you look around you, there are so many job platforms, so many hiring solutions, but most of it are focused on roles very much for, you know, people like myself, you know, yourself, and quite a few of the friends that we know. But a lot of this, you know, non-executive roles in your F&B, retail, hospitality, manufacturing, logistics sector is still very much relegated to friends of friends, you know, sharing it through WhatsApp networks or even through your Jawatan Kosong, you know, hiring urgent hiring signs that you see pasted outside of shop fronts and shop lots. So I think this is really the genesis for Fast Jobs, where we thought, hey, you know, given that this is the majority of the workforce, is in Malaysia's case, it's 75% of Malaysia's workforce that fall into this category of, you know, what we term as non-executive, you know, operational roles, then definitely we should be looking at a fast, effective and meaningful hiring solution to get them connected to the world of, you know, job opportunities as well.
Right, you're absolutely right. Now, when I think about it, yes, there are plenty of portals for kind of the executive level, but I still see those kind of signs pasted on the walls for looking for, you know, particularly in shop windows, right? Help needed or help wanted. Is that the sectors that you normally work, the employers that advertise on your platform? Would that be usually the kind of F&B, the service sectors?
Yes, definitely. So two key industry of, you know, employers that we work heavily with, in the F&B, retail, as well as hospitality sectors. So of course, now with Malaysia opening up again and us returning to shopping malls every day, I would say, you know, we definitely see a lot more of these signs. But some of the other sectors that we support strongly in as well also include your logistics, warehousing, because of the rise of e-commerce, and also a lot on the manufacturing side, because production is returning in a big way. And I think even for our professional services sectors, people who work as customer service, in your call centers, recruitment agencies, those are all clients that we do supply, I would say, work closely with to help them look for job seekers who are also keen on roles in those sectors.
Okay, well, clearly the economy is opening up, so there's going to be a lot more, I guess, employers looking for job seekers to fill those positions to ramp up production. I'm just wondering, okay, so when you talk about making it as simple and fast and efficient as possible, what does that mean? How does that process work for Fast Jobs?
Mm-hmm. So that's a great question as well. And I think just to share a fun fact about Fast Jobs, we actually started off as with a mobile-first approach. So what that means really is that we actually had our mobile app on Android as well as iOS even before we had a website. And this is really for a very simple reason. And I think, you know, kudos to Malaysia. We have one of the highest internet penetration rate, right, of more than like 85%. But if you break down what that internet penetration rate looks like, what we also realize is really just to look at the type of devices that people own. And right now, where it stands is that for every ownership of one laptop or desktop, we are talking about 4 smartphones ownership.
Okay, so everyone's kind of on the mobile, right? Right, okay.
And if we look at the sector, you know, the skilled, semi-skilled, operational workforce that we are servicing, most of them actually do own a smartphone, but they may or may not own a laptop. And I think that this is actually how we decided to go to market. And actually in Malaysia alone, within a year and a half, we actually exceeded over 1 million Malaysian job seekers on our database looking for jobs. And that's how we actually knew that that's a real product market fit, and it really is benefiting the lives of job seekers by placing thousands of jobs in the palm of their hands.
Okay, so when you say mobile first, I'm also thinking making that kind of closing that communication gap. So as opposed to kind of emailing your resume or your CV, you're perhaps doing it more on a direct communication basis. WhatsApp, I'm thinking of like direct chat. Is that right? Okay.
So just to share a little bit, right? So more fun facts, you know, we actually realized that for this segment of job seekers that we do serve, they actually do expect a response from the employer 24 to 48 hours after they have submitted their application. So what we are constantly looking to do as well is to help save time for our employers, because 24 hours is a pretty demanding turnaround time. So we actually have a very popular feature called WhatsApp to Apply, where an employee or potential job seeker is actually able to take the initiative to reach out to the employer and indicate their interest to work for their company in the role specified. And some of our employers have actually told us that they have been able to hire their first job seeker starting work, you know, within 24 hours of them posting their job on Fast Jobs. And similarly as well, you know, I think it's not so much about, okay, how do we do hiring, but and how do we hire more effectively? I think a big part of what Fast Jobs is consistently looking to do is how do we reduce the disconnect between job seekers from the skilled and semi-skilled, you know, sector of the workforce to hiring managers.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by the disconnect?
So if I could just share a simple anecdote, I think when we are talking about hiring, you know, a lot of our HR managers, they do come from the executive segment of the workforce. And when we think about hiring, sometimes maybe if you are looking for a marketing manager, for example, you will be thinking, you know, Melissa, if I could ask you, what would be a pretty successful timeframe for you to hire a marketing manager if you're looking for one?
Well, as soon as possible, but I don't think it will be a 24-hour turnaround time.
However, some of the clients that we are working with, they have outlets opening. They have people that you know, that they need to staff immediately or even within the next week. And we're talking about maybe 30 headcounts or 30 vacancies to be filled in a week so that they can start training to get ready for their grand opening in 2 weeks' time. So everything that we are talking about is at volume and at speed. And that's why a big part is then how do we reduce all barriers of communication and provide the most streamlined, effective way of connecting our job seekers to our employers. And at the same time as well, providing the necessary tools to make that almost like intuitive and extremely user-centric.
That's amazing. I mean, okay, so really living up to the name of Fast Jobs, because you're talking about speedy and volume, right? Okay, so I can imagine that perhaps during the pandemic, that must have been a tough time, but also I guess a double-edged sword, because maybe job seekers who had been retrenched or lost their jobs or looking for a second job to increase income, that I would probably see the supply and demand not quite match up. But now that we're perhaps exiting the pandemic more into an endemic phase, things are opening up. How do you see the labor market changing? What kind of impact, or how has COVID actually reshaped the non-executive labor market?
Mm-hmm. So great question once again, Melissa. I think just to answer your question in two parts, I think that firstly, the way people do hiring and the way people look for jobs has actually changed significantly. For example, in the past, it is a very common it's a very common practice to travel all the way to my potential employer's place office or place of work in order to go for my attend an interview or go for a mass recruitment event, you know, where I'm putting myself in front of a HR manager hoping for a chance to get hired. But with the pandemic, I think that has actually placed a huge barrier of traveling to their place of interview. And this is also how really I would say that Fast Jobs has came up with our innovation in the form of eFast Recruit, where we actually replace the mass hiring in-person event with a virtual mass hiring exercise, where job seekers who are still looking for jobs are now actually able to give themselves that opportunity for employment simply by using their smartphones to dial into a video interview and then be given an offer before they even show up for work on the first day. And similarly as well, I think that that has really allowed our employers to be connected with a lot more job seekers who may not have showed up otherwise because of the travel that is necessary. So I think that is one thing that we do notice.
And reducing the cost, right, for traveling as well. Fantastic.
And the inertia, reducing the barrier to make those meaningful conversations like interviews actually happen. Yeah, right. So changing in the... Yeah, sorry.
You're saying the second thing that you've noticed has changed?
So the second thing that we have noticed in a big way is that flexibility is needed by job seekers and employers alike more than ever, since now that we are entering into the endemic stage of our journey. So what we have actually realized is that the caregiving duties has actually shifted quite dramatically for many, many households in Malaysia. So a job seeker, I would say especially women, female job seekers, they may used to be able to participate in the full-time workforce where I'm doing 6-day work weeks, 9 to 5. However, during the pandemic and post-pandemic, because of their caregiving or family commitments, they have been requiring flexibility or a very flexible work schedule completely. And that is actually why also we have came up with another, innovative hiring solution, also known as FastGig, where we really explore what is our role to play to help the gig economy flourish. Because not only do job seekers need the flexibility nowadays in order to re-enter, especially stay-home moms, to re-enter the workforce. And similarly as well, I think employers are also looking at how they can reduce their business risk when it comes to slowly rebuilding their workforce and also starting to open up and servicing more operational hours. So that has actually been a very huge significant shift that we've seen, which is the rise of the gig economy and also the requirement for freelance work on both sides of the market.
That is fascinating. So much has changed over the past couple of years. Okay, I think there's still quite a lot to cover, but let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and continue this conversation. I'm Melissa Idris. I'm going to take a quick break here on The Future's Female. We will be right back with Joelle Pang. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Future's Female. I'm Melissa Idris. I'm speaking to Joelle Pang. She's the General Manager of Fast Jobs Malaysia, which is an award-winning mobile app or tech-driven job recruitment company, helping to connect entry-level and non-executive job seekers with prospective employers. Joelle, we were talking about how the pandemic has really changed the labor market. And one of the things I'm quite curious about, I'm really glad to see that flexibility is something that's on the table right now, freelancing, the gig economy. But wages remain an issue, particularly with the kind of non-executive level. We've talked a lot about underemployment, particularly for young first-time job seekers. How have you seen the pay for non-executive jobs perhaps recover or not now that the economy is opening up? Are you seeing it take a bit of a hit after the pandemic?
So Melissa, I would say that the contrary is actually happening at the moment. I think going back to what you were mentioning earlier about the demand and supply, because Malaysia is opening, like people are flooding back to malls, people are dining again, and there's a huge need right now, for non-executive entry-level job seekers to rejoin the workforce. However, we also know that the job-seeking market has changed quite significantly So what we have actually been seeing across the board is that our employers have actually been coming back to us to seek for, you know, in a way, our advice in terms of what the new salary benchmarks should look like.
Oh, great.
And to be honest, like right now, we are seeing quite significant increase to the median salary for a lot of this entry level as well as non-executive roles. So it's really a great time to come back to work.
Okay, well, wonderful. So you're seeing kind of wages track up and employers coming back to ask what's the current trend, what's the market rate. Okay, and when we talk about that, are you seeing kind of equal opportunity for women? Are you seeing, you know, good opportunities? Looking at perhaps some of the more gendered challenges for the job in the kind of hiring process for women, has that been improved in your opinion?
Yeah, so perhaps I could share a little bit of you know, how the job seeking landscape for women has looked like as well. So it's something really interesting that we observe on the Fast Jobs platform is that pre-pandemic, we used to have a good, you know, 50-50 split of, you know, female as well as male job seekers who are looking and applying for jobs on the Fast Jobs platform. But post-pandemic, you know, in the past 12 months or so, we have actually seen most, I would say, our job seekers now is comprising of 60% of females who are looking for jobs. Many of them actually fall within the age groups of 25 to 40 years of age. And we actually believe that, once again, not always saying that everything is attributed to the pandemic, but it also gets us to start thinking, right? You know, like how has the pandemic also impacted the way, you know, women with young families or new families, as well as women who are also juggling the role of being the caregiver of their family right now because of the shift in family units. Like what are some of the motivations or impetus that's getting them to apply for jobs at such a high volume? I think those are all very interesting, you know, questions that we do ask ourselves. But at the same time, you know, going back to address what you were sharing about the hiring practices, This is also a great opportunity to really share with hiring managers and recruiting managers that, you know, we should really look at how we can reduce what we call the pandemic gap year bias, where, you know, a lot of women, they have been forced really to stop working during the MCO because they have lost their helper at home. Some of them have lost their in-laws due to the unfortunate impact of the pandemic. And the women is usually the one taking on the caregiving role, unfortunately or fortunately. And that has, in a way, made us take a step back, in a way, of driving gender equality in the workplace. But that said, you know, I think that now that women are looking to return back to the workforce, as HR managers or hiring managers, we should really think about how this pandemic gap year bias might be impacting the way we look at a female applicant. Because I have interviewed quite a few female candidates myself, and they have been so grateful just telling me that I'm the first interviewer who has actually given them a chance, because many of them have been thought of as irrelevant, lacking of skills, or at worst case, you know, unambitious for having stopped working for, you know, anywhere from 6 months to a year and a half. And I think that, you know, this is really something that we should equip ourselves with the awareness of, and look at how we can really help with, you know, stay-home moms or, you know, women who had no choice but to step out of the workforce to really return to the workforce. And yeah, something that's also really interesting, sorry, if you don't mind, yeah, just sharing one more data. So with FastGig, which we actually soft launched, you know, in late of 2021, because for the freelance gig economy work, we do not actually require job seekers to go through any arduous interviews. As long as they're willing and able to work, we actually do allow them to book shifts and to start working and earn an income for themselves. And surprisingly, for FastGig, where it is our freelance, you know, platform, we actually see that on the platform itself, women make up 60%. Of all our freelance, like gigas, that's what we call them, making up 60% of our giga pool on FastGig. So very, very interesting shift in the way we think about women at work.
Well, thank you so much for highlighting that. That's really quite interesting, particularly in you receiving some of the feedback from your female applicants. Good to know that that's being taken into consideration now for the hiring process. You know, it really struck me when you said that 75% of the Malaysian workforce are that entry level and non-executive bracket. And I'm wondering, because I hear sometimes from business owners or from the corporate sector, the business sector, that they say, well, this is almost always the highest turnover, the most difficult to retain. What would you then say, how do we resolve that part, the very high turnover and perhaps the lack of esteem that we place onto 75% of the Malaysian workforce?
Yeah, so Melissa, I think that in that question, you have also answered the question. I think it really boils down to, you know, the work environment, the culture, and that the esteem, you know, that we place on the workforce. And similarly as well, you know, we are really talking about 75% of the workforce, and this is really the segment that Fast Jobs is very excited to address, because they do make up the majority. And while it's true that the perception is that this group of job seekers have a very high turnover, but at the same time as well, we have worked with employers who, you know, beyond just successfully hiring, they have actually also implemented, I would say, very progressive workplace policies that have also allowed them to retain their staff that then go on to take on, you know, more managerial or leadership roles within the organizations and go on to be, you know, promoted to more senior levels. And I'll just share a very impactful, you know, example of such a workplace policy that has also left an impact on me. Because for the entry level, you know, non-executive workforce, they do work 6-day work weeks. And right now, we are talking about working 6 days, and their only day of rest is usually spent to take care of all the errands and household commitments, right? And by the time they have to return to work, they are tired, they are burnt out. And one of our clients actually just implemented something as simple as a 5-day work week, even for their non-executive workforce. And that has allowed them to retain close to 100% of their segment of the workforce. And simple touches, you know? And I think more so than ever, given that we are living in an endemic, you know, endemic environment, I think it's really just to think about how do we start seeing each other as humans first, introducing empathy into the workplace, part of it knowing that some of our colleagues do need flexibility more than ever, and just creating a positive environment where employees, regardless of whether they are non-executive or executive or working on the ground or, you know, sitting in a nice office like mine, maybe, you know, they're all equal, and that, you know, we're all deserving of respect and dignity in the world.
And I think that if the pandemic has taught us anything, me in particular, I've had this kind of realization as well. When during lockdown, we were all kind of staying at home, but it was the essential workers that kept on going. And, you know, more often than not, they are the non-executive. Yes, absolutely. These are we say unsung heroes, but maybe it's time now to sing for them a little bit. Joelle, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. We've got a couple of minutes left. And I before we end, I do want to say that I'm really inspired by your journey. I mean, you've been involved in some of the, quite a few startups, many of which are primarily tech-driven. And you've won awards for them. You named the 2019 Entrepreneur of the Year at the Women in IT Asia Awards. And I'm just wondering, with that kind of ethos of the startup ethos of being an entrepreneur, how have those experiences kind of shaped your work ethic, particularly as you're also thinking about solving some of society's structural problems?
Yeah, I think that can be, to really break down my journey as an entrepreneur or as a you know, woman in tech, can be overwhelming at times. But I'll just share three things that I've came to realize about myself that have been my guiding principles. And I would say that after being in this ecosystem for over 10 years now, I would say that I'm so thankful that I've always had a firm grip on my why. And my why has always been this deep belief that in each and every one of us as individuals, we all have a power to create, to develop, and to build. And the second thing is the what. Like, I always believe that technology is my tool of choice. And why technology? Because I see it as a tool that allows us to build every day, you know, to build solutions that is scalable, that is cost effective. And how I choose to do it then is to use the power that is within me to create, to build, to really leverage on technology to solve everyday consumer problems in a way that's cost effective and at scale. And, you know, with that as a guiding principle, I started thinking about what has been driving me? You know, what has been giving me that passion to just wake up and put each, or like my one foot ahead of the other? And it's really because I do believe that, you know, I want to play my part in solving inequality. You know, I think that it's as big a statement as saying that I want to change the world, but I still believe that as an individual, I may not be able to change the world on my own, but I can definitely play my part. And I think definitely. Through fast jobs, yeah, and where we are right now in the state of, you know, with the pandemic, recovering from it and seeing the state of, you know, our job seekers trying to be connected to meaningful employment, I think that I'm living right smack in the middle of what I'm meant to do. So
yeah, well, that's really encouraging.
Such a wonderful thing to say. I mean, one person may not always be able to change the world, but you can change the world for another person. And, you know, that's the best we can do for each other. Joel, what a pleasure it's been talking to you today. And I'm really honored that you came on the show and you spent some time with us, Jay. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's an honor.
That was my conversation with Joel Pang, the general manager of Fast Jobs Malaysia. That wraps up this episode of The Future is Female. I will be back same time next week with a fresh episode. Make sure you tune in for that. I'm Melissa Idris. Good night, folks.